All right, everybody, welcome back to In the Green Room. It's lucky number 13, our episode. It's unlucky for some, and I'm talking about these two blokes right here. We've got Dave Puchet and Filthy Phil Ryan as our guests today. How are you guys?
Yeah, very good, thanks.
How about you, Phil?
Yeah, I've been prettier.
How's the belly beef, mate?
Yeah, not too bad.
We'll get to that in a minute, but I'm also here with my trusty co-host, Justin Pugliese. How are you, Pugger?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. Yeah. The weather's taken a turn recently. It's cold and a witch's tit out there. These boys will know about it, training out there tonight.
How was your Saturday?
It was a bit eventful. I got rugby league drunk, we'll call
it. Big day at the footy.
I got rugby league drunk, we'll call it, and passed out quite early, covered in my own stomach contents.
Oh,
but,
really?
You know, we've all been there. It's a low point in my life, but we can only go up from here.
I guess we can.
So, boys, we played against Hamilton down here on the weekend. I think the coronavirus scares kept a few people away, but we still had a pretty healthy crowd. Was it good to play out there in front of everyone?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was felt packed. Like, everywhere you looked, there was people still, so, yeah.
So you played in the game against the Wanderers at the start of the year?
Yeah.
Was there much of a similarity between the crowds or on the weekend?
Yeah, huge similarity, like electric feel. You can just hear everyone everywhere.
Yeah.
Could you hear Gilly?
I didn't. That's all I pretty much heard all game.
And did you start on the weekend or you come on off the bench?
No, I came off the bench. First game for the Greens.
Oh, was it? How was that, mate?
Yeah, unreal to run on for the Greens. Finally put on that Greens jersey after 2 years of pre-seasons.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So what I said before about the lucky number 13 but unlucky for some, these two blokes, we train on a Monday and a Wednesday night. And we record the episodes either on a Wednesday night or early on a Thursday afternoon. I said, Phil, can you come in on Thursday afternoon at about 4:30? He says, oh, I can't. I've got root canal on my tooth. And why is that, boys?
Oh, Gilly came to train him one day with a great tackling drill, defence drill. And
on Monday night?
Monday night. And me and Dave, Dave was running the ball and I went to tackle him. And I decided to put my head in front of his head. And my teeth came off second best.
So bit of your tooth go in his head?
Yeah.
There's teeth marks in my head where it's split my forehead open.
Well, we were talking about Nolo the week before.
Yeah, that's right, the infection. Nolan. You should talk about it before, whether or not you should get a rabies shot. I think you should. Phil is a bit of a mongrel dog.
I'll definitely get a rabies shot.
Mate, I was talking to Nolan about that, about his tooth last week, and he said he was close to going blind.
Because of the infection. Poison.
Yeah, the infection.
You hear that,
stuff.
Dave?
My eyes are already that close already.
A few more of them will go blind anyway. So how was it, Phil? How many teeth did you lose?
Oh, I didn't lose any yet. Just they put it back in. It was hanging out though, so none yet, but I know that the root canal guy didn't seem too stoked about it.
A bit of a welcome to first grade, I suppose.
Yeah.
Bang, here's your teeth going, missing a trainer.
So which one was it, the front?
Front, right? Right side, yeah. My right side.
So you've already got one.
Buddy, only worst thing was the other one's a fake. And fucking Dave only knocked out my fucking only real one left in the front teeth.
That's it, eh? So how was it after? It was like bang, blood, shit, I'm going to hospital.
Instantly knew that something bad had happened, looked at Phil and went, you're right, and he just opens his mouth. Big gnarly tooth sticking out and just blood everywhere.
And what, you were bleeding out the head as well?
Yeah, it was just blood trickling down my nose.
And was that kid play on or the drill was over, boys?
Drill was over.
The drill was over.
Wow. I'll have to. There's a photo of it, isn't there?
Yeah, there is a photo of it.
We'll put it up.
All smiles. It was all smiles when the photo was taken. So this is about your playing career, Phil. So this is your first year in first grade? And so what was your ascent to first grade like? Did you rise through the grades and play a lot of second grade and go up, or were you one of these guys who just went like Colts, seconds, like Colts, thirds, and then straight into the deep end?
No, I had a whole season in seconds pretty much. So 2 years of Colts and then a bit of thirds and then seconds and come up through 4 years, Benny?
Oh, yeah.
Corona season that fucked up. Got to put everything a little bit back, but
yeah.
Apart from that, no, it's been great.
So quite a nice gradual build in the first grade.
Yeah, got to actually get the speed of things, like instead of just deep end straight up, kind of come off the bench a couple of times on the first grade and stuff, instead of just getting thrown deep end at the start of a game or something.
Do you think that gradual raise rise through the grades was beneficial to your football?
Oh, definitely. I probably would have got flogged in a lot more scrums, I think.
Yeah?
Probably folded by a lot more people.
Yeah. How do you find the scrums now when you're in first grade against these bigger sides?
Not too bad now. Like, with Steve Barreto coaching us, just getting us to get low and stuff, and like people like Dave and stuff helping us. But telling us what to do more than fucking just, yeah, pack scrums and bash the fuck out of each other.
That's it.
Steve knows what he's on about. He's been there, done that. He's coached.
I think he's an Irish international or played for like one of the Irish club teams.
I think he's coached pretty much at every single level, hasn't he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he knows his stuff.
From from girls under 10s or under 15s or something, what he coaches now, all the way through. So yeah, he knows his stuff. So you're a junior?
Colts I started, so...
So, what, 17?
Get the mic up close to you, man.
Colts started, juniors.
Yeah, so 17?
17 I started, yeah.
Where were you before that?
Played league before that, up at Musselbrook, and I had 1 year at Central, and then had a year off, I think, and then ran to Lockie Miller at Bar Beach Bolo, underage drinking one day, and I said to him, I want to go play Union. And I was thinking about playing for Hamilton. He goes, fuck that, you're not playing for Hamilton. We have training on Tuesday, just over here, at Empire. Come to training, I'll give you a message. And sure enough, he gave me a message and turned up to training and haven't turned back since.
Now you're playing the dizzying heights of first grade, Mary.
So did you know Lockie?
I only knew Lockie from mates of mates and briefly, nearly get on the piss and chatting to him, but that was about it.
Yeah, right, okay. And how did you come? You're from Port.
I came to Newcastle. I was playing in Sydney.
Yep.
And I was just sick of the big smoke.
Club in Sydney?
Last club I played for was at Randwick.
Yep.
Just didn't like it? Just didn't like the pace of it?
I hated every second of it.
Yeah.
It was just shocking. Not for me. From Port Macquarie.
Yeah, of course.
Polar opposites. A few of the Port boys had played for the Greens back in the day. Chris Geary and Peter Sales.
Yep.
And, I said if I'd ever go to a Newcastle club, I'd be going to the Greens.
That's good.
So, yeah, Gilly got a hold of me and away I went.
So you were coming down here to play for the Greens because, like, everyone should know that Poochett's in the wildfire thing. Were you coming here to play for the Greens or was it a wildfire thing that brought you to the Greens?
I don't even know about the wildfires. This one's the Greens.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then the Greens started, then the wildfires started after.
Yeah, the wildfire started initially just going to do a few games and go to Argentina at the end of the year, which would have been unbloody real.
Yeah, bloody hell.
We would have written dead.
Yeah.
That got canned because of COVID. Club Con got canned because of COVID. So, just ended up doing the wildfires, playing in the shoot shield again.
Yeah.
They're having a reunion on the 7th of August against Singleton here, the Argentinian tour side that went 10 years ago. Early 2011 they went.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So Jade Roach said they might get together.
So you blokes might not know, but they actually took a touring team to Argentina in 2011 from the Greens. And it hasn't happened since, as much as I've tried to get it going by telling other people to organise it. It hasn't happened. So if someone out there wants to grab the ball and run with it and take us overseas, it might not be for 5 more years, who knows how this bat disease is going, but...
Get your shot.
Let's get going. Let's go. Japan somewhere.
Yeah, Japan would be great.
That'd be good.
Imagine us in Japan.
So you mentioned before, Dave, it was your first game for the Greens, running out in a green jersey. Did that feel... What did that feel like after 2 years, like you said, as pre-seasons?
It felt unreal. It was a little bit unexpected when Jamie told me to run on. It was a bit early, so I wasn't quite all mentally prepped. Not that I really ever am. just awesome feeling crossing that line and running over to a scrum and then... getting put in the wrong position in the scrum and all went downhill from there.
But like you said, you train with these guys for 2 years, you've been getting on the piss with them and hanging out with them and everything, but it's sort of like a massive, initiation process because generally, like I was told on the podcast before, you do your pre-season, you put the jersey on, and then next minute you're one of the boys, but you didn't get to try that for coming up to 2 years. So finally got to play with the boys you've been drinking with and, carrying on with. So it must have been a really good feeling to finally don the jersey.
Yeah, it was bloody awesome.
Yeah?
When about did you come on? How long into the game was it?
Oh.
I can't remember.
30 minute mark.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. First half still. Ridiculous.
Yeah, right. Okay. I can't remember.
I was slosh as well. A mate of mine, Jace Toby, he's losing his vision a bit, so I had to sort of commentate the game for him so he could see what was going on. He's like, what's going on now, Jonesy? Oh, well, so-and-so's just got to kick the penalty goal. So, and it sucked. We had an undefeated season in first grade leading up to the weekend, and we got beaten by Hamilton by 1 point.
There was a few penalty tries in the game too, which was a bit...
Penalty tries.
Yeah, there was two penalty tries.
Two penalty tries.
Yeah, there was one. There was one in the second half down there in the Norrie's corner scrum, which I thought was a bit.
Two in a game's a bit much.
Two in a game's a bit much. I thought. Yes.
And we had two yellows.
Yeah. So I think the boys. I think he's did pretty well for two yellows, two penalty tries. Only go down by 1 point. In the last 10 seconds.
When I was watching the game, we got two yellows and they were in defence and they were in our own sort of red zone. Repeat infringements in an offside.
Yep.
But that's because we were such a young side and we're so keen and eager to get up off the line and tackle. It's very hard as a coach, because I have coached before, how do you tell your team, stop being so keen, stop getting up off the line, stop trying to beat them in defence. It's a tough sort of grey area where...
Yeah.
The team relies on that youthfulness and that eagerness and that keenness to beat the opposition, and then they're giving away little penalties in defence. It's a little like, well, how do you? It's a fine line to sort of cut.
It's sort
of
a thing where you've got to be very eager but also very relaxed
and disciplined.
It's sort of a bit of both. Yeah. Kind of thing.
So in the sheds after the game, so being our first loss of the season, I was in there about 15 minutes after, so the mood had obviously changed, but was it quite sombre in there after the game, straight away, Phil?
Yeah, it was very quiet.
Yeah.
No one was talking, not many happy faces getting around.
Yeah. Just especially to be beaten by 1 point at the death of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But tell me about the start of the game, because I was in there for the start of the game for the jersey presentation with the 2011 guys. I filmed it. How was that, listening to Sykesy talk about that whole 2011 team and the whole undefeated season? Because I was looking around, everyone was pretty much just
locked in.
No one looked distracted during that. Everyone was focused about the game and listened to Sykesy and what he had to say, and yeah, pumped a lot of the boys up. Everyone was pretty psyched after it, going into the game undefeated especially, so, but not the outcome we were hoping, but hopefully we learn from it. And
so besides from the lost tooth and the busted skull, Monday when we come back to training, what was the feeling like? Was everyone up or was everyone down?
Oh, it was mixed emotions really.
Yeah.
But especially because we got such a young side, everyone's like, doesn't take anything too hard, really. Like, some boys get over it faster than others, and but it is what it is.
It hasn't really stunted the confidence of the club.
No, going everyone's still confident. There's 1 point in the last minutes of the game, so I think that's why everyone's still thinking we're. For the confidence and everything. So
we've got Wanderers this weekend. At number two. Is that our biggest test so far, or was on the weekend? Do we think that was our biggest test, and we can just build off the back of that, or we've got another tidal wave to tackle on Saturday?
Wanderers are a lot more physical side compared to Hamilton. I think that'll be our biggest test, biggest test so far.
Since that game here, which taking to the crowd was huge. It was massive. It was probably, 80% green?
Yeah, it would have been.
They haven't lost. I think they may have drawn, or have they drawn one, but they haven't lost since. They've been going pretty well. And they've got some good... They've had a few positional changes. They've got a bloke... Simo's gone to 10, and they've got this new fullback. I think he play for the Wildfires? At some stage?
What's his name?
I wouldn't have a clue.
Something Cole? Well, Evan, you know his name. Yeah, didn't mate?
Hayden Cole.
Is that it? That's it?
Yeah, he played for us for the Wildfires last year.
Oh, did he? Yeah, he right.
From Parramatta Two Blues.
Yeah, right, okay.
And yeah, he didn't want to do the Wildfires again. He's found his way to the Wanderers.
Yeah. So I think he's going to be a lot more physical over there, especially too, with...
And I'm anticipating a wet track. Does that lay into their hands or our hands, Phil?
Oh, I think we play lot similar footy. We defend very similar as well. So it's, I think it's going to be a grind all day. So
looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it.
Are you playing?
Yeah.
So what, do you just mouth guard and just play?
Yeah, I got to get a mouth guard made. So yeah. Not
that tooth out.
Fucking, I wish I just pulled it out now. It'd be easier.
Yeah.
Should have got a gold tooth.
And so you're playing as well, Dave?
Yeah.
Can't
not
wait.
Not too sure where I'm playing yet, but yeah.
What, 5'8"?
I'll always put my hand up for 5'8". No, Lockie Miller might be out, so might be filling at 6, which is very exciting.
And you've played there before?
Yeah, played there a bit for the Wildfires this year.
You don't jump in the line outside, do you?
No, I'll try to.
They lift him.
So what's wrong with Lockie?
I think it's his ankle.
His ankle?
So yeah, he's haven't trained all week, so
yep.
I'm not too sure what's happening with that.
Any other injuries from Saturday? At all?
Rouse has got a sore leg, that's all I know about, but he was training Monday, so he might have done that on Monday. Everyone else is pretty fine, I think, apart from Lockie.
I have to say, you guys, like, young side, inexperienced side, you've lost about 6 or 7 players in the first couple of rounds, and you guys have just built and built off the back of that. You know, quite impressive what you guys have achieved so far.
Yeah.
It's just, we're in the middle of the year, we just need to start, you know, building towards the back end of the year, and next week, I think, it's going to be our biggest test. I think we've got the side to do it, because everyone said, oh, no, they're not going to win. But I'm starting to think these guys can beat anyone.
I think we say it pretty much nearly every week on the podcast that, you know, the injuries we had,
yeah,
you know, throughout the year, all the first graders, Willie Frost is out. Is he gone for the season?
I'm not too sure. He's in a leg brace still, so I can't see him come back.
He's bloody changing when he reckons he'll come back.
Depends on which race meet it's on, mate. If there's a big race meet on the Saturday, he'll take an extra week. Trust me. But we say it every week. And I said after Saturday's game, that what happened, that a few Wildfires come back. We were down 14 men for 20 minutes, 2 penalty tries, some tough calls went against you. That sort of gave them a lot of momentum, got them back into the game. And I said to a few people, that's, you know, lose by one, we've still got the team to do it. We've still got the...
Yeah, we've got the cattle to do it for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's
we'll still win it. I'm still that confident.
Yeah. So am I.
Are you that confident?
I don't even remember the first 20 minutes of most games.
Yeah, I know. Mate. Over there with the 2011 side,
geez. I didn't even go. They told me Mick Gill was in a cage. What a time he got here. They locked him up.
He was. I had to walk him down the stairs at about 6:30. He nearly tipped over the grandstand.
Good,
he was in fine form. He'd lost his voice by about midway through the second half.
Yeah, you know, it was good to see all the young fellas sitting up on the scoreboard.
Yes.
Doing the green wave, that was
awesome.
Do
you guys see that when you were out there? Do you guys see all that's going on, sort of like the guys on the scoreboard, 2011 side, screaming, yelling over the fence, like madmen? Do you hear all that? Do you see it? Like,
I can't really hear or see anything outside of the game except for bloody Gilly.
Yeah.
I think it might just be because it's a familiar voice. I can hear Gilly or my mother. That's the only two voices I can ever hear.
Yeah, my missus was notoriously late, so I'd always be looking for her. Like, she's fucking late again. Where is she? She's normally sitting over there. She's late again. Not here watching me play. You puggers used to watch the crowd? Of course.
Well, I'm in the crowd, mate, so yeah.
No, when you play.
Oh, no, not really. But you can hear people. You do, like, when you're out there, you hear people yelling, especially if they yell your name, or if they're just one and they're constant. If it's every now and then, you probably don't realise it, but if they're constantly just yelling from the first kickoff
right
to the end, you just go, you know.
Yeah. Mm. And we can't gloss over it either. Chris Hollywood Bennett playing his 300th game.
Yes.
I think the club did the right thing by him. If you got the guard of honour, you got a good speech made about him up in here in the club. You got the pewter. Yeah, it's a massive achievement to play 300
scored
games.
Scored a try.
Scored a try.
Nearly tripped over. He went well.
Forgot his ferrets. massive achievement. Congratulations to Hollywood. So that's good stuff.
Hey, tell me, what's... you played for the Port Pirates?
Yeah, the Pirates.
You played with Geary, didn't you?
Yeah, played with Geary.
Chris was here on Saturday.
Yeah, he was. Managed to catch him just before the warm up.
You did, yeah, sweet. Is there any similarities between the two sides, Port and
Merriweather?
And
I don't know about recent years because there's a big turnover of players with the Pirates this year. A lot of the old heads like Geary and that are starting to retire. And
he's going around again, he said.
Yeah, he keeps saying that. He has to leave his gear for playing in the clubhouse on a Thursday night. So he has to sneak out on a Saturday, tell the missus that he's going to go do some stuff, go play, and then quickly run back. And he just leaves his gear in the sheds.
Luckily, she doesn't listen to this.
I've been there. I told my missus I was running water. It was taking me. What's that bag? Oh, it's just stuff for footy.
Yeah.
Boots and everything. I was just doing. I played against Port Pirates when Peter Bezling was playing there.
Oh, big Bezling.
That's years ago now.
You played for Sawtell?
No, it's Coffs. Coffs Rugby, yeah.
So would you play against is that the same?
Yeah, Port Pirates. But this is years ago.
Same comp?
No, this is Coffs Rugby. This is years ago.
Yeah, but they're in the same comp. Yeah.
Same comp. But last time I played there was...
Mid-North Coast.
Mid-North Coast,
yeah. Last time I played there was 2009.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we won a premiership that year. No, 2010 I played there.
Did you?
Yeah.
You win a premiership?
Yeah. Legend.
I'm a bit of a legend in Sawtell as well. Different reasons.
Different reasons.
Different reasons. Yeah. But is the culture the same? Is it the sort of any...
Yeah, that's where I really found my love of club rugby and the Pirates. Just getting around your mates and having a beer after footy.
Yeah.
And, like the club culture is a lot similar. Like, there's a strong club rugby feeling. Just getting around the boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And having fun.
Well, that's it.
That's it.
That's our culture. That's how we know.
Mm. We know our re-roll here. One in, all in.
All right. Now... Three players, each of you get to choose three players. Me and Jonesy are on the four of us going on an end of season trip. Get to choose three
Pugger
players.
Pugger and I are chaparones on your end of season trip. You get three.
We're looking after everyone, making sure everyone's tucked into bed at nice and
we're pouring the drinks. You go, sure. Phil. Who's your three?
Three I'd take with me.
Three you take with you, past or present.
Nick Ball would have to be one of them because he's one of the fucking funniest drunks.
Who's that?
Nick Ball.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nicholas Ball.
Bathurst boy.
I've never seen someone ask for so many photos with Knights players.
go again.
This is tough. Nick Ball, I'd probably go... Oh, God. Clancy Landridge, maybe, just because he's fucking a cracker.
Yeah, he's got to mention before, Eddie.
In all states.
Yeah, last one.
Probably Flynn Atkinson, because he's always got durries on him.
Yeah.
What about you, Dave? Three. You probably only know three.
I know the whole boys. I go Lachlan Miller. Yep. Rory Ryan and Bill Dunn, so I can watch Bill Dunn yell at Lachlan and Rory.
And he does, doesn't he? Yeah. You idiots. Oh. You guys are idiots. And then they just do dumber and dumber shit just to piss him off.
Oh, I lived with Lachlan and Rory and, Bill was always over to yell at them.
Oh, you lived with them?
I used to live with them, yeah.
Yeah, right. How was that?
It was wild.
Clean?
A lot of fun. Not so clean. But yeah, it was good fun.
Who's the cleanest out of the three of you?
Oh,
man. I reckon it's
it got to the point where you just didn't bother. Like, we're just having parties every week and you might as well just leave the mess because it's only going to get messier again.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's a great attitude. And then you just stop flushing the toilet. Yeah. You just stop washing dishes.
Yeah.
What's the point of flushing the toilet? She's going to get shit in it again.
And my 7-year-old son says that. He goes, what's the point, Dad? I'm just going to make it dirty again tomorrow. Fair enough, son.
Yeah, it was a fun time.
That's right. You got to live with the boys at least once.
Have you lived with...
I always lived with Mum and Dad's because me and my dad are like that. I had two other brothers, so...
No, when you moved down here?
Oh, well, nah, I've been with my missus since I lived here.
Oh, so you never lived with any of the boys?
No, I never lived with any of the boys.
What about you?
Took advantage.
Nah, I live with my girlfriend.
Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never lived with any of the boys I played with.
I heard all the camp X-ray stories, and I'm sure if I was here in those days, I would have lived in there.
Sorry, I lived with one mate who ended up coming to play later. Who? That was it, Drew Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
He
yeah.
came and played one season with us.
Yeah.
But we didn't live together while we played at the same time.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have had a little... A Green's house.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. Well, I hear stories about Camp X-Ray. We had mates' houses back up home. It sounds like the exact same thing. Like every night, someone let themselves in, just getting on it.
Yeah,
it'd be awesome.
Monkey's house. When Monkey and...
Well, I only moved in. I don't remember Monkey's house. I only moved in 2011, so...
Yeah.
All I've ever done is live in rugby houses.
Have you?
Yeah.
What's a good rugby house story? Go on. Oh. You got one. Come on.
It's not a good rugby house story. I'll have to come back.
I can beep out the names if you need me to.
I'll have to have a think about it.
Go on, just say something. What happened?
I've drawn blanks. I think mostly my brain's a bit damaged when we have rugby outs.
Right? You got a tooth in your forehead.
Still can't find it.
Well, you got the... has Kramer sent through the team?
I got the team list for this weekend.
Beautiful.
So you guys know who's in the team? Because you might not be in it if I read this out. So Phil Ryan... The Toothless Wonder and at number one, Brad Lauder, number two, Zach McGuinness at number three, Luke Corrigan, number four, Brendan Jackson, number five. Now, Lachlan Miller at number six, but you were saying he might have a dud ankle, so possibly Poochity. Darcy at number seven, Lockie Milton at number eight, Eli and Bridie in the halves, Tom Smith and Brendan Gibson in the centres, Chicky Sicky Yadis and Ethan Thales on the wing, and Sam Rouse at fullback. I'm assuming Rousey is the captain again this week.
Didn't Darcy put on a few big hits?
Yeah, I thought Darcy did awesome.
Yeah. There was one in the second half where he rocked some guy. He got up a little bit sore after it. I saw him in the sheds and I said, "How's your head?" And he goes, "Yeah, it's all right."
He's one of those lawyers who's like, "Yeah, I'll just do it. I'll just get out there."
I still can't believe he's going to be a lawyer.
I thought he was a lawyer.
Oh, no,
yeah. But he hasn't got many teeth in his forehead, I suppose.
Is he a criminal lawyer? Is he going to be a defence lawyer?
I don't know. All the good ones are in the commercial law space. They will have a good time.
Good to have a criminal lawyer on your side. You always need one.
All right, boys, thanks so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. It's a good story that you knocked his teeth out, Pooch it with your face. It's always a good one for a laugh on the podcast. What did your missus say, Phil?
She didn't say much. She just looked at me really and just went,
"Oh, I'm going to bed."
No, I've got to take me to the dentist because you said you might need someone to drive you because you might have to get put under or might have to, I don't know, like that.
Have a surgery,
anesthetics or anything, I've got to go to the hospital. So... I just got to play it safe and got her to drive me, and she was fine with driving me, but God, I got to tell you, she didn't say much.
No.
I was trying to talk and I couldn't talk properly, so...
Tooth flapping.
So was it fully out? Was it just hanging there, just like a...
It first happened, it was pointing back into my mouth. I kind of... The dentist FaceTimed us and told me to try and put it back in myself. I couldn't put it back in.
Was that COVID or something?
Jesus Christ, I hope you didn't charge for that.
And he goes...
Just drive it back in, mate.
I couldn't put it back in. He goes, "Oh, I'm at home right now. I'll just make dinner for the kids and I'll come back in and open back up. I'll see if I can get one of the dental assistants to come in and help me." And then he gave me a text and said, "Be at Islington Dental at 8:15. So I raced home, had a shower and got myself into Islington Dental, and he... put all the anaesthetic in my mouth and I couldn't feel my whole face and my lip was drooping and...
Pay a lot of money for that, Merriweather.
Oh,
go. Here, Dave's got his rugby story.
I remember my rugby story. It was...
Get that microphone up close.
The first house that I moved into in Newcastle was in Merriweather, overlooking Gibbs Brothers Oval, with Sam Dart's house.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
We had a Hottest 100 party. And there was about 100 people in his house, and it was going off, having the best time ever. And I was pretty drunk. And,
chicks?
Everywhere.
Starty. Everywhere.
Anyways, I was sitting by the pool, and I was talking to Bill Dunn.
Oh, that's your first mistake.
I went to lean over like this, so I could lean on like the side of the concrete.
Yeah.
And there was a bottle there.
Oh,
put my hand on the neck of the bottle, it shatters. and then I get a fat shard of glass go into my hair right there. And,
yeah, it's a big scar.
Yeah, it's huge. And I pull my hand up and go to Bill. It's like, oh. And then Bill just looks pale as a ghost, pulls out this massive shard of glass, and it just starts spurting everywhere. I go, oh, no. I stand up, and there's blood, like, covering my shins because it's, like, on the ground, splashing back up. There's just so much blood. My housemate comes and just gets a hose and starts washing it away.
What about me?
And then luckily one of the girls there was a nurse, and she's like to her mate, get some paper towel. He's bleeding out pretty quick. And I'll go, nah, love. There's a bottle of Bundaberg in my room. Can you get that for me, please? So she runs out and gets the bottle of Bundy. I'll just flick the cap off and just start glugging that.
Yeah.
And then they finally tape it up, and someone drives me to hospital, and I'm sitting there in hospital waiting at the MARTA by myself, and then all that bunny just hits me, and I'm just sitting there going, oh, nah.
I'm going to fight someone.
I'm pretty good on the run, but yeah, that was my first ever party in Newcastle. It was a good way to start.
End up in the emergency stitches. Room. Hey? End up in the emergency room with stitches. Yeah,
16 stitches.
16 stitches.
No tendons?
Luckily no tendons. That's what pretty I good. Took the time with. And then went back to work the day after.
Pretty good, mate. You're tough as nails, mate.
That was a hangover.
Oh, yeah.
And to this day, it's the first and last square that Billy Dunn's ever seen. Yeah. And that'll wrap up our episode. Today's episode was brought to you by Regional Australia Bank. Buying your home doesn't have to be as complex. I suppose they do everything. They give loans and whatever. Good on them. Get on the Regional Australia Bank. Thanks for all your support. We love your guts.
What about an intro to... What a great intro to that ad, wasn't it?
Oh, God. On your boys. The front row. Here's the front row. Yeah. See you later. Thanks.